I'm so envious of her talent. It just makes me so jealous. We were all better years ago. I was just joking. The rest of you have reached your prime. Just hitting your stride. Ezekiel chapter 22 to begin with. I'm going to move from Ezekiel to Jeremiah and then to a final passage. But I want to lay some groundwork scripturally before we get there. Ezekiel 22, please. One of the great major prophets. When you find your place, I'm going to begin reading in verse 23. Ezekiel 22, verse 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. Pay attention to this next line. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. There's a 2-hour sermon in that line. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. The word profane means to make common. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Boy, there's a great sermon in this passage of Scripture that I'm not going to use today. But you have a problem amongst the prophets, these responsible for receiving the communication from God, her priests, which are responsible for helping the people carry out worship, her princes, which are responsible for social leadership. The prophets are included a second time, so they are doubly indicted, and the people of the land. So you see the condemnation crosses all spectrums of the people of God. Their prophets, their priests, their princes, their people are all under a condemnation. And as a result of that, God says, And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy, but I found none. In all of these other categories and these groups of people, because they are all plural, prophets, priests, princes, people, he said, I can't find anybody. He said, so I looked through the population to see if I could find one. And I found none. I want you to keep that in mind as I turn back to Jeremiah chapter 5. It's just a few pages. Jeremiah chapter 5. And if it's a little much, I know sometimes not easy to find places, you can just hold and I will get you to where you need to go. But in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1, it says, Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, If there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. Hey, Jeremiah, go through the streets of Jerusalem. He doesn't even tell him to go through the entire land of the nation of Israel, from Galilee to Judea, from north to south and east to west. He says, just go through the streets of Jerusalem and find a man. Now, this man needs to execute judgment and seek truth. In other words, he's a fair, honest, upright, spiritual, one that follows the law of God. Find me one, and I'll pardon the people. And that's that. Find a man. And now for our text. I turn your attention to 1 Kings chapter 22. This is our text for the message. I wanted to lay that ground before I got here. Ezekiel, 1 Kings 22. The historical record, 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, of the leadership of the nation of Israel and then eventually Israel and Judah. And now the kingdom has divided. The northern 10 tribes of Israel are now under the hand of wicked, godless King Ahab. The southern tribe of Judah and Benjamin are under the administration of King Jehoshaphat. So 1 Kings 22. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? Watch this. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes, in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, made him horns of iron, and he said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. And so he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. There's no way to recognize what is more than likely a sarcastic statement because of what the king responded in verse 16. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? I'm going to stop there. That's not going to be all the ground I'm going to cover, but I'll just stop reading there. There's been a space of 3 years peace between Syria and Israel. Now, we're talking about three distinct personalities of nations. Syria, Israel, Judah. And Ahab is the king of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, and he's wicked. Remember, he was married to Jezebel, and there's all kinds of problems there. He's a godless man. Jehoshaphat, on the other hand, is the king of the southern tribe of Judah and Benjamin. He is Scripture says he followed the Lord. He was a good man. But for some reason, they want to maintain diplomatic relations. I don't know. But Jehoshaphat goes to visit Ahab, king of Israel. And the king of Israel said, you know, Ramoth Gilead, that actually belongs to us. And it does. And he said, we be still and taken not out of the hand of the king of Syria. The Syrians have overrun us, and that actually belongs to us. And what he said was true. It did belong to Israel. But Syria had encroached upon that. He said, it belongs to us. Why don't we go after them and displace them and take back what's ours? And then he looks at Jehoshaphat. You going to help? Now that's a paraphrase. Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat gives one of the craziest, foolish statements that you can make. By the way, you can compare this passage in 1 Kings 22 with 2 Chronicles 18. You can look at both of them and put them both together. But Jehoshaphat says, yeah, we'll join up with you because we're just like you. That's paraphrasing. Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art. No, he wasn't. Ahab was wicked and profane and idolatrous and immoral and everything else. Jehoshaphat said, I'm just like you. My people as thy people. My horses as thy horses. In other words, you can count on us. We'll be right by your side as we do this. So, he's got the alliance of Jehoshaphat and his army. He's got them in his back pocket. And Jehoshaphat said, well, before we take on this great undertaking that's going to put us in battle, can we ask God about it? Now, that's a smart thing to do. Anytime you take on a great task, a great step, it's always good to ask God about it. It's always good to ask God about it. Now, I got a real problem with this. It's always good to ask God about it before you make the decision. Sometimes I make the decision, then I ask God, no, Lord, would you help with the decision that I've already made? It's always good to ask God first, and if Jehoshaphat had asked God first, he probably wouldn't be where he is right now. But either way, Jehoshaphat says, well, our practice in Judah is to ask of the Lord before we go to battle. Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord. And King Ahab says, that ain't no problem. I got 400 prophets. That's a great big bunch. And so he gathers the 400, and he said, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead or to battle, or shall I forbear? Should I go up and battle the Syrians, or should I just forget it? Be patient, not wait. Well, all 400 of them said, go! Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. You're going to get it back. And think how famous you're going to be when you do that. No, I'm just supposing. They said, go up, the Lord will give it into your hand. In other words, you'll win the victory. Jehoshaphat's looking around, and he says, there's something wrong here. There's something that's just not what it needs to be. Look at his question. Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides? You got these 400 men, but obviously to Jehoshaphat's eyes, they didn't seem like prophets of God. So how do you know that? Why else do you ask the question? And so Jehoshaphat says, do you have a prophet of God that you can ask? Besides these 400 guys that, according to what it's looking like, looks like they're acting like heathens. But and King Ahab says, there is yet one man. I got these 400, but there's one man, but I hate him. Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. He doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Jehoshaphat said, let another king say so. Certainly, he will only tell you a message from God. So, while these other 400 are having their prophecy ceremony and celebration, telling Ahab, you just go and you'll push the Assyrians and you'll win the battle. The messenger goes and finds Micaiah. And he says, you need to give a message to the king. Now, these other 400 have already given the message. You just need to say the same thing they're doing. Just agree with them. Let me just throw this in as an addendum. It's not part of the sermon. The majority is not always right. But 400 to 1. The majority is not always right. You remember the 12 tribes at Kadesh Barnea? I mean, the 12 spies at Kadesh Barnea went in to spy out the land. You know, Moses, Joshua sent them out, and they went out and spied. And Joshua and Caleb said, man, the land is all we could ask for. Let's go. And the 10 other spies said, oh, we can't get in there. They got giants in there. We're going to lose this battle. And the majority won, and it cost them 40 years of wilderness wandering. Majority is not always correct. But this messenger tells Micaiah, the prophets of God, the prophets of the king, excuse me, they are in agreement. They're unanimous. Just say what they say. It's almost you can imagine this guy's thinking, don't rock the boat. Whatever you do, just agree with them. As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Man, what a testimony. I want to look at some things about Micaiah, the son of Imlah. We'll do it very quickly. First of all, I've given you a little bit of the background as best I can. First of all, Micaiah was recognized as a prophet. He was recognized as a prophet. Now, he's still got these 400 other guys, but Micaiah was recognized as a prophet of the Lord. That's who Jehoshaphat had asked for, and he looks at these 400, and as I've already said, it doesn't seem to be kosher to him. It's not adding up. He doesn't recognize their godliness. And so, is there a prophet of the Lord? And isn't it amazing that King Ahab, this wicked guy, immediately comes up with, yeah, well, there is one. I know one. Out of 401, this guy's a prophet of the Lord. He was recognized as a prophet, and the wicked king knew who he was. The messenger knew who he was. He was recognized. Just one man out of all the 10 northern tribes of Israel. We need a prophet of the Lord. Well, I know where to find one. Of course, when you study your history, you remember Elijah, you remember Elisha. But these were main characters. But in this context of this meeting, Ahab says, yeah, I know where there's one. What did Ezekiel say? I sought for a man. What did God tell Jeremiah? Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and find a man. Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord? Ahab said, yeah, there's one. He was recognized as a prophet. Not only that, he was rejected by the wicked. There's yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. He never agrees with anything. We got 400, and he never is in agreement with these 400. The messenger says, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king. They told him what he wanted to hear. Oops. They told him what he wanted to hear. They speak good words. But what did Ahab say? I hate him. He doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Ahab's a crybaby. You remember when he wanted Naboth's vineyard? And he was going to buy it from Naboth. And Naboth said, well, I can't sell it to you. It's my inheritance for my family. It's what I'm going to pass out to my family. I can't sell it to you. I'll give you a better one. No, this one belongs to me. And he wouldn't sell it. Naboth went home, turned his face to the wall, and cried like a baby till Jezebel says, I'll fix it. And she killed Naboth. Now here is Ahab, the most powerful man in Israel. I hate him. He does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. I can hear the whine in his voice. He never says anything good. He never agrees. He never tells me anything good. I'm familiar with this. I've been preaching a long time. And from time to time, people say, don't you have anything good to say? Well, there's a whole lot of bad that's out there that needs to be exposed. Now, the good is Jesus is the answer. The good is salvation can be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The good is the Word of God is the Bible is the Word of God. You spend time in it and you read it and study it and consider it and live by it and it'll help you. That's all good and heaven's your home. But there's a lot of crud out there. And from time to time, it is necessary that the preacher reveal it. Because, as is so often the case, the devil's very deceptive. And he often appears as a wolf in sheep's clothing. And perhaps the sheep may not recognize it. I look at Micaiah and I said, you know, he's a shepherd. He recognizes the wolves. but Micaiah, this one man was rejected by the wicked. I hate him. Well, what about these 400 other men? I ain't agreeing with them either. So, recognized as a prophet, rejected by the wicked. Not only that, refused to fellowship with error. Refused to fellowship with error. And add a second one onto that. He refused to follow error. I wonder why, I don't know this, I wonder why when Jehoshaphat first asked for an inquiry of God, I wonder why Micaiah was not with the other 400. I said, I don't know. Because he refused to fellowship with error. Because he refused to follow error. Now, be very diplomatic and discreet here. But one time, back in Virginia, I received a phone call from another Baptist church in town asking, would our church consider going in with a citywide evangelistic campaign? Told me the preacher and all, and everything. And I said, I don't believe so. What? I said, no. I said, because I've already read some things about this, and the local Church of God is also on the steering committee. I said, I am not comfortable with an interdenominational meeting where I'm on the platform or in agreement on the platform with somebody from that denomination. The question that came across, don't you want to see people saved? I said, absolutely. I said, but again, I am not comfortable with an interdenominational meeting. Now, before you go off half-cocked and say, well, our preacher doesn't think anybody else is saved, that's not what I said. Church of God does not believe like I do about this Bible. They are good people. I never said anything about the people. But the very church that they were talking about, I've watched them on TV, and I've watched them speaking in tongues. And never was there an interpreter. I don't believe in losing your salvation and having to get saved all over again. And at that time, and I still am for that matter, I'm not in favor of contemporary style Christian music. And we don't have healing services in here because I believe healing was a sign gift for the first century, just like tongues. And so I'm not bringing in a healer in here who's going to lay hands on whoever's got cancer in here, and you're going to walk away with no cancer. Because the first thing I would do with this healer is send him up here to Advent Hospital, and then over to Moffitt, then over to Tampa General and every other hospital in the 30-mile radius, and get those people out of there if you've got the gift of healing. I took my glasses off. I have no idea what you're looking at me like. I can see face, but it's all blur. But see, there are nothing against the people, and hear me, I am not saying these people are not saved. And I'm not saying the people that attend those churches are not saved or cannot be saved. I'm saying there are doctrinal differences I cannot agree with. I would have to compromise to have done that. They wouldn't. That and the fact that I only use the King James Bible. You say, well, that's your big problem. No, it's not a problem. It's a conviction. And I don't have a problem with it. But there were other churches that didn't. So I have doctrinal differences that I could not fellowship with and say, well, what if he starts speaking in tongues? That's okay. I agree with it. Or they have the rock and roll band come up before the preacher and say, wow, this is great music, and they're dancing in the aisles. No. And what if somebody says, well, if you've been saved but you're fallen into sin, come forward and get saved. No. If you got a sickness, come forward and we'll lay hands on you. No. Now, there is a New Testament admonition. I'm fully aware of it. If any among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. That's what we do in a New Testament church. Don't you come up to me and say, I got leprosy. Would you put your hands on me so it'll be gone? I said, yeah, I'll put my hands on you, but all I can do is pray for you. And I would not. And I was criticized for it. I'm still here. You say, didn't the criticism hurt? Yep. And I'm not trying, I know you don't believe, I'm not trying to reach around and pat myself on the back. I'm telling you, Micaiah would not fellowship with the error. When they called the 400 guys, he wasn't there. And when they told him, the 400 guys are unanimous, this is what they told the king, you say the same thing. No. I'm not only going to refuse to fellowship, I'm going to refuse to follow. And I am slap out of time. I thought this would happen. Part two will be tonight. I wish y'all could come back to hear the end of it. I really do. If you can't come, it'll be streamed. And you can listen to it there. The whole point, I can boil it down right at this particular time, is there have been these times where God says, I just want to find one. Yeah, I'd like to have 25, but if I could just find one. You got 400. No, he said, I'm looking for one. You remember Elijah moaning and groaning? Why was he? Because Jezebel was after him. Who's Jezebel? The wife of Ahab. He said, I'm the only one left that's come to seek my life. He said, No. I got 7,000, haven't bowed the knee to Baal. But Elijah felt like he's the only one. God said, I'm looking for one. Go through the streets of Jerusalem, find a man that'll stand for the truth. Jehoshaphat, you asked for a prophet, there's one. The challenge this morning is, let's just be willing to be one. Now, there's strength in numbers. Strength in numbers. The more numbers of the right beliefs, with more numbers, we've got more strength. And we can accomplish more. But it begins with one. It takes one. One, 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 one. It takes one. And then another one. And then another one. And pretty soon, you got a bunch of ones. And they're all standing for the Lord. And they're all working for God. And they're all living for the Lord. And they're all praising His name and reading the Bible and serving Him. And you've got what God wants. But you got to be the one first. We're out of time. Let's pray. Father, thank You for allowing these moments. And Lord, there's a sermon that's got to be completed. And I'll come back tonight if You tarry Your return and I'm still standing upright. I'll come back tonight and deliver the second half and we'll get the entire character of Micaiah. But I hope we've got a little bit of glimpse this morning that he was indeed a prophet and yet the wicked rejected him. And yet, he refused to fellowship or follow. Dear God, we have learned that much in learning that You desire just a one among many. Out of 300 and some million people in America, help me just to be one. And then, alongside of a bunch of other ones, You can be honored and glorified. But if it's just one, let me be the one. May that be our prayer here today. In Jesus' name. If you take your hymnals and turn to 240.